This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. To our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is a short overview, a report back, insha'Allah, on our recent trip to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, masha'Allah. So this is our fourth African country that the Imam Development Program has set its sights on. And alhamdulillah, we were there from the 17th of March to the 22nd of March. Myself and the manager in charge of the IDP bonuses, Brother Sayyid Fakhruddin from Johannesburg, we went together, masha'Allah, for these few days to Zimbabwe. Aim and objective, our purpose, to launch the Imam Development Program in Zimbabwe, to interview candidates, applicants, those imams who applied to the IDP, and also very importantly, to network with Muslim individuals, organizations, those involved in da'wah, etc. Walhamdulillah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, it was an excellent trip. Walhamdulillah. In total, we interviewed 57 imams, imams in Harare, imams in Gweru, in Bulawayo, in the other provinces, MashaAllah, we met with many of them in Harare. We did side visits of many of the imams, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, like any other country, before you get there, before you move in, etc., you do not want to rock the boat. You do not want to cause any issues, any problems. You do not want to be seen like somebody coming from outside and who are you, new kid on the block? You think you know everything? No, you don't. You don't know everything. You don't know the reality on the ground. And thus, before our trip to Zimbabwe and before the launch in Zimbabwe, we had contacted relevant stakeholders, individuals who have already been working in da'wah there in Zimbabwe for decades, masha'Allah, alhamdulillah. And so from like December 2020 and even before that, alhamdulillah, about 2 years ago, I was invited by the New Hope Islamic Center in Harare for a visit. They had an opening of a new center. They had a small mini conference. And so we had attended, and that was the first time ever that I had been to Zimbabwe. But now as for this trip, then this trip was different. This trip was the launch of the Imam Development Program. And so we made a lot of mashura with those mashayikh whose numbers and contacts we had. So from like December or before, we contacted Sheikh Mufti Menk, made mashura with him, with Sheikh Shu'ib Asali, with Sheikh Jekure, with Sheikh Bilal from Bulawayo, Sheikh Nuruddin, and others. Those whose numbers we had contact with them. We said that, Sheikh, you are in Zimbabwe, you know the reality on the ground, and you advise us, is there a need for the Imam Development Program? We've received many applications from Zimbabwe, but is there a need? We are making mashura with you. What do you say? What do you feel? How should we go about it, etc., etc.? And so, alhamdulillah, we made mashura with them, and they had welcomed the program, alhamdulillah. And obviously, attached with that, they had given their advice and their mashura, alhamdulillah. And then more recently, with Sheikh Sajid Umar, we also made mashura with Sheikh Ibrahim Menk and others. Any Zimbabwean contact that I had on my phone, we contacted those individuals and we discussed, alhamdulillah, with them. And then, masha'Allah, one of the advisors to the Imam Development Program, Sheikh Riyad Fattar of the MJC in Cape Town, he had sent me some contacts and whoever he put us in contact with, masha'Allah, we made mashura with them, we tried to contact them. Those who responded, alhamdulillah, we furthered the conversation with them. Similarly, that Maulana Musa Mkize, he gave us a few contacts and we followed through with that, alhamdulillah. Point is that there was pre-planning. We didn't just get to Zimbabwe and here we are and now we want to do something. No. You have to plan in advance and you have to win over the hearts. Jayid, you have to win over the hearts. That is extremely important. Alhamdulillah. And you are not there. You are operating remote control from South Africa. You require role players and stakeholders on the ground. You require items to be purchased for the imams, etc., etc. Where do you get it? How do you get it? You need to have contacts. Alhamdulillah. We are but one ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody might ask, why Zimbabwe? So mashallah, the Imam Development Program has been operating in South Africa. So far, the 5 provinces of South Africa, 5 out of 9 provinces. And then we expanded to Lesotho. Lesotho, well, technically Lesotho is closer to Durban than even Johannesburg. Lesotho is a country within South Africa. And so we expanded into Lesotho. And then maybe a year and a half ago into Malawi, alhamdulillah. So the natural progression would be one of the other Southern African countries, and that being Zimbabwe. South Africa shares a 200-kilometer border with Zimbabwe. But then more especially, because we received many applications from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe currently going through a financial crisis. In fact, it's been like this for maybe almost a decade or more. Allahu musta'an. The sanctions placed upon the country, etc., etc. And so things are very, very difficult, especially financially. Allahu musta'an. So we had received many applications. One message we received, you know, imams are starving. Maybe this individual exaggerated, but the message was that imams are starving and please assist, please assist. Subhanallah, it was our trip to Zimbabwe a few years ago. We had met with Sheikh Uthman Tabiso, who was from Lesotho. There was a conference and he came from Lesotho. At that time, we were not intending to move out of South Africa. Our aim and objective, South Africa, and we'll see what happens. But subhanAllah, after meeting him, he was a graduate of the Islamic University of Medina. He studied there for 9 years. He did his high school, he was in the Institute for Arabic Language, and then he went to the faculty and graduated. 9 years, mashallah. What's he doing? He's working at the embassy, one of the embassies of one of the Arab countries, the Libyan embassy. The Libyan embassy. Jade, who would have thought that the Libyans have an embassy in small, tiny Lesotho, subhanAllah, Jade. Nonetheless, he was there and he was a translator. But his hum and his gham and his passion was for da'wah. And he says, but the reality is, I have to work here. And they, I think they were paying him 3,000 rands. Allahu musta'an. Jayid, I mean, that's less than, that's about $200 or less, subhanAllah. And so we discussed, you know, maybe inshallah one day we will look at Lesotho and expand there. Sometime later, we went to Lesotho, we visited, mashallah, we found many imams worthy of being put onto the program, and we decided to launch, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Uthman, we removed him out of that Libyan embassy, and he was ready to move. And so, alhamdulillah, there was a nice large masjid, Masjid Abu Bakr, there in the capital of Lesotho, and they had no imam. And so, mashallah, we spoke to the trustees, had a meeting. He was appointed as the imam under the IDP. So IDP will sort out his salary on a monthly basis, mashallah. He'll be in charge of the other imams. And so there's no cost to the trustees there, alhamdulillah. And so it was Nurun ala Nur, was fantastic, mashallah. So that was how we got into Lesotho. And then after Lesotho, we expanded into Malawi, mashallah. But the catalyst for all of this was where? Was Zimbabwe a few years ago. It's there that we decided, let's move beyond South Africa, alhamdulillah. And so this trip, this last week, we were back in Zimbabwe. But this time to launch the IDP in Zimbabwe. Okay, question. Where is Zimbabwe? What can you tell us about Zimbabwe? What should one know about Zimbabwe? So a little bit about the demographics and the history of Zimbabwe, inshallah. So Zimbabwe was previously called Southern Rhodesia. Southern Rhodesia, Jade, south of the Zambezi River. There was a time when it was called just Rhodesia, and another time when it was called Zimbabwe Rhodesia. And this term Rhodesia, what's the origin of that name? Well, that's after Cecil John Rhodes, in honor of Cecil John Rhodes, that name there, or that term Rhodesia, came about. And Cecil John Rhodes was the famous British imperialist, Jayid. The population of Zimbabwe, plus minus 14 million. It's a landlocked country. As we mentioned, shares a 200-kilometer border with South Africa. Many, many, many Zimbabweans now working in South Africa, especially after the downturn of that economy. The capital of Zimbabwe is Harare. Harare, that's what it's called today. But previously, it was known as Salisbury. In 1980, that's when Zimbabwe got their independence. Before that, it was under minority white rule for about 15 years. And before that, it was under direct colonial rule. As for the languages, then Shona and Ndebele are spoken by most people. More than 2/3 of the population, they speak Shona. And these are Bantu languages. Remember that the Bantu peoples, they had moved south from the Great Lakes region. The Great Lakes region, they moved south and some settled in Zimbabwe and others moved further into South Africa. There are 16 official languages in Zimbabwe. As for the religious landscape, then more than 4/5 of the population, they are Christians. More than 4/5 are Christians. Muslims make up around 1%, or some mention under 1%. Others mention, no, it's around 2%. So we're talking about either below 1 to around 2% of the population are Muslims. And so the Muslims are a very small minority, Allah musta'an. The constitution allows for the freedom of religion. The Muslim community consists of people of South Asian origin, India, Pakistan, etc. And also indigenous Zimbabweans. There's a very, very good book on the history of Islam in Zimbabwe, authored by Ibrahim Mandivenga. Ibrahim Mandivenga. This book was written around, I think, the 80s or the 90s, and he covers the whole history of Zimbabwe, the history of Islam there, and he mentions that rather Islam first entered Zimbabwe like centuries ago via the Muslims of Mozambique, the Muslims in Mozambique, and the trade links that they had with the people of Zimbabwe. So there's a very long and deep history, and one can get further information from that book there. And we also find that Sheikh Shu'ib Asali, he has an article on the history of Islam in Zimbabwe. The Muslim community, like most other Muslim communities, they have the divisions and the fractures. Allah musta'an. Unfortunately, there are some Muslims who are very, very, very rich, mashallah, and others very, very poor. Allah musta'an. There's also this perception amongst, you would find that the matter of racism, Jayid, between the different segments of the Muslim community there, we find that some of the Indians would like those of Indian origin. So they're all born in Zimbabwe, but Indian origin. So like some of them have this perception of reverse racism. Like you would find some of them like mentioning, well, because I'm of Indian origin, in certain gatherings, I won't be so welcome. So this is his perception. Whether true or not is a separate discussion. And then from the other side, you find others, well, because I'm African, because I'm black, because I'm African, I might not be welcome in certain places. So there's this perception from like both sides. Whether it's true or not is a separate discussion, but there's definitely this perception there that because I am X, Y, and Z, I might not be welcome, these doors might not open for me. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. And so there's a lot of mending, a lot of cooperation and bridges that need to be built between the Muslims there. And like most other places, I mean, these problems are not unique to Zimbabwe. These problems are everywhere, unfortunately, Allah musta'an. Other matters related to Zimbabwe, alhamdulillah, Zimbabwe has a very, very high literacy rate. Very, very high literacy rate. The level of education, mashallah, very good. And that's one of the highest in Africa in terms of its literacy rate. Other matters related to demographics and history, that the British, they entered around the 1880s. 1880s, they moved in. And once upon a time, there was the Federation of Southern Rhodesia, Northern Rhodesia, and Nyasaland. So this was like one country. The Federation of Southern Rhodesia, Northern Rhodesia, and Nyasaland. Southern Rhodesia eventually became Zimbabwe. Northern Rhodesia is Zambia. And Nyasaland, this is our modern day Malawi. So all three, they made up one federation. And that's why you find like many Malawians, people of Malawi origin, the Yao people, many of them are found in what we call today Zimbabwe. Because in those days, it was one federation and movement was much, much easier. With regards to the economy, then subhanAllah, it used to be one of the richest countries in Africa. But now, one of the poorest, Allah musta'an. Many events during the rule of Robert Mugabe. Robert Mugabe, the former president, he ruled for 37 years, right? So many events occurred during his rule, which unfortunately caused the economy to take a bad turn. Things started to really go bad since around the year 2000. Sanctions were implemented upon Zimbabwe. There was the land reclamation without compensation rule that was instituted by the government of Robert Mugabe. Then eventually in 2017, there was a coup and they removed Robert Mugabe. And in 2019, he had passed away. As we mentioned, most people use the US dollar nowadays. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Zimbabwe and the people of Zimbabwe see better days. Ameen, ameen. Now let's move on to our actual trip. Well, alhamdulillah, we left on Wednesday the 17th of March 2021. We flew via SA Airlink, one of the few airlines that services Zimbabwe via South Africa. And so, alhamdulillah, we landed at Harare International Airport at around 5 p.m. Sheikh Shu'aib Asali, Sheikh Naim Naino, Sheikh Chekure, mashallah, they were at the airport. Allah reward them. And they arranged the pickup, alhamdulillah. We prayed Salatul Maghrib in the town masjid. The main masjid in Harare. It's a very old masjid, alhamdulillah. So we prayed Salatul Maghrib in that masjid, and I was told it's the oldest masjid in Zimbabwe. Then, mashallah, we needed to get some food and some items for the room, and so we went to Pick and Pay, and mashallah, it was a sight to see the bananas having a sign above it, $109, but that's not US dollars, but rather that is the Zimbabwean dollars. So we purchased whatever we required, inshallah. And then, subhanallah, like our days in the Medina Islamic University, we bought some beans and we bought some chakalaka so that we could cook something at our accommodation, inshallah. Bought some bread, some beans, some chakalaka, put it all together. Mashallah, you have a good meal. Alhamdulillah. We booked the accommodation via Airbnb. We get to the accommodation. There's a security code you need to pin in, and it's not working. It's now 8 p.m. just now the curfew is going to kick in. And Zimbabwe, mashallah, when it comes to COVID regulations, mashallah, everyone follows the rules there, subhanallah. Compared to South Africa, Allahumma stan, everyone's following the rules in Zimbabwe. You in your car, brother, please put on your mask. You're outside, brother, please, you know, you have to have the mask on. Masjid everywhere, everyone is complying. Walhamdulillah, Jahid. Now, we get here and this Airbnb accommodation thing is not working out. We don't know the password. The password's not working. Tried to contact the owner, not working. And so we left and we went to the Argyle Apartments. Much better place to stay, alhamdulillah. And so we checked into the Argyle Apartments, alhamdulillah. And I had stayed there previously when we had visited about 2-3 years ago. So that was the Wednesday. Nothing too much to be mentioned here about the Wednesday. Thursday, we got cracking early in the morning, 8 a.m. We arranged that we will be interviewing the imams, those who applied. Remember, the IDP, we only interview those imams who apply. I want to join the IDP. So they've applied. Well, alhamdulillah, we made arrangements to meet at the New Hope Islamic Center in central Harare. So we get there, mashallah, and about 20, 25, 30 imams were waiting. Well, alhamdulillah, 8 o'clock sharp, we started with the interviews and we outlined what exactly the IDP is, what we offer, what we expect from the imams, etc., why we were there. Alhamdulillah, there was a question and answer session, and then we began the interviews. Alhamdulillah, after those interviews took maybe about 2-3 hours. Then Salatul Zuhr, we went to Masjid Al-Falah. Masjid Al-Falah is the masjid that Mawlana Musa Mink, he performs his 5 daily salawat in that masjid, and I think he is also a trustee, etc., there at that masjid. So they had found this masjid some years back. So Masjid Al-Falah, we prayed Salatul Zuhr and we met Mawlana Musa Mink after Salah. Alhamdulillah, we had journeyed with him, mashallah, many times to Mali, to Rwanda, on Hajj and Umrah, etc. And so I know him, he knows me. Alhamdulillah, he's familiar with the program, mashallah. And so we met with him and then he invites us after Jumu'ah the following day for lunch. So we said, khair inshallah, we will join you for lunch after Jumu'ah inshallah. So after meeting with Mawlana Musa Mink, then we headed off to do site visits of some of the imams. There's Sheikh Jim. We visited his center. In the interview, we found him to be somebody with potential, great potential. So we visited him, alhamdulillah. Then there was another Imam, Jula. Jula himself, mashallah, active, alhamdulillah, especially with the youth and other programs. He's the Imam of a masjid. We visited his center. And his wife works at the New Hope Islamic Center. MashaAllah, she is very, very active. She is a tour guide. So they arrange tours for school students, for university students to come there. It's like a Discover Islam type of exhibition. And so they go through explaining to these visitors about Islam, alhamdulillah. So we visited, MashaAllah, this Sheikh Jula, his masjid. Then we went for some lunch at Muchacho's. MashaAllah, was very tasty, alhamdulillah. Then we headed off to an orphanage. And this orphanage is run by Sheikh Naino and also Sister Zainab. Sister Zainab, mashallah, she had studied in Azadville at one of the female girls' madrasas there, and her father was also a sheikh. When he passed away, the center here, he left it, for Sheikh Naino and his daughters to run. So they have orphans there, and the sister Zainab, from what we've heard, and also in the interview with her, she also applied that, mashallah, she's very, very influential and very, very active, alhamdulillah. So we will definitely be adding Sister Zainab to the IDP, inshallah. Remember, the IDP is open to the mashayikh, to the imams, and also muallimas, also muallimas. Then later in the evening, we had a networking meeting set up and planned at the Mubina Ibrahim School. So this is a Muslim school. So we plan to have a networking meeting. Anyone and everyone involved in da'wah in Zimbabwe, we tried our level best to send them messages, personal messages, inviting you, doctor, inviting you, sheikh, muallim, etc., muallima, businessmen. We invited them all. We tried our level best. Those contacts that we had, we invited them, alhamdulillah, plus minus about 25 individuals attended, mashallah, and we went through a rundown on the Imam Development Program, why we were there, what's our aim, objective, how we operate, etc., alhamdulillah. And so we met with many high-level individuals there, alhamdulillah. We also met with Sheikh Rashid Materia, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So that was, in reality, the Thursday, so it was full of interviews and then side visits of the imams and ended off with the network meeting in the evening, alhamdulillah. We move on to Friday the 19th. In the morning, we said that we must go and visit the Majlis al-Ulama. Majlis al-Ulama, this is the institute set up by the Menk family, by Maulana Musa Menk, mashallah. So we're all familiar with his son, Mufti Menk, but there's also the elder brother, Shabir Menk. And so Shabir Menk, mashallah, Sheikh Shabir Menk, he runs the Darul Uloom, or the Islamic centers, and the main one being Majlis Al-Ulama Center there in Harare. And so we went there. We didn't make any arrangements to meet or anything. We just said, let's just go there, stop by, inshallah. Let's just visit the center. So mashallah, he was present, and then he invited us into the office, and we sat for maybe about half an hour, 45 minutes. We also met some of the teachers. We met with his son Usama, alhamdulillah. So that was the morning there. It was a good visit to Sheikh Shabir Menk and their Majlis al-Ulama. Then we went to Masjid Abbas. Masjid Abbas is the largest masjid in Zimbabwe. I mean, subhanallah, it is a massive masjid. The plot of land that they have, subhanallah, it used to be part and parcel of an old airport, Jayid. Massive, extremely massive, alhamdulillah. That's a major asset to the Muslims of Zimbabwe. Then we went to Masjid Abu Bakr, one of the imams there. He applied to the IDP, so we visited him, alhamdulillah. Then we prayed Salatul Jumu'ah at Masjid Al-Falah, the masjid that we had met Maulana Musa Mink, mashallah. Maulana Musa Mink is in his 70s or 80s, subhanallah, mashallah, he's still healthy, alhamdulillah. And so he prayed Salatul Jumu'ah there, we pray there, and the khatib was his grandson, I think it is, Ibrahim Menk, his grandson Ibrahim Menk. Sheikh Ibrahim Menk led us in Salatul Jumu'ah, and then we went to Maulana Musa Menk's house for lunch. Was a very good lunch, alhamdulillah. Maulana Musa Menk, mashallah, he came from India and he moved to Zimbabwe, and then he set up this madrasa and it grew and grew, mashallah. And so many of his offspring, they became Hufaz of the Noble Quran and sheikhs, and they studied, mashallah, and they are involved in the work of deen, alhamdulillah. Besides that, almost every second imam that we met and we interviewed, where did you study? I studied at Iqra. I studied at Majlis al-Ulama. I studied at the center which was put up and set up by Mawlana Musa Mink, subhanAllah. So imagine how much of sadaqa jariya he would be earning, subhanAllah. Oh, every town, every place you find imams who had studied at their Darul Uloom, at their centers, subhanAllah. This is leaving a legacy behind, mashaAllah, subhanAllah. And as was mentioned, we were honored to travel with him to Mali and a few other places. And he also visited South Africa when we had invited him a few years ago, alhamdulillah. And subhanAllah, even over lunch, Mawlana Musa Mink, he's not talking about, so how's the weather in South Africa? How's the cricket and, you know, what's happening with this person or that person or some politics here or politics there. No, he's not talking about that. You see that this man, he's got the passion of da'wah in him. That which imam you met with, this imam, oh yes, that imam in that center there. MashaAllah, his memory is still sharp, alhamdulillah. We set up that center there and this other imam, oh, this imam is a very, very good one. And his father, I remember his father, MashaAllah, Jaheed. The entire discussion revolved around da'wah. And from our center, how many imams have you interviewed? Who applied? You make sure that you add 1, 2, 3, etc. You put these people onto the program. MashaAllah, walhamdulillah. His passion is da'wah, mashaAllah. And so whether he wants to hide it or not, it comes out, walhamdulillah. And subhanAllah, his house, mashaAllah, is a very humble house. I thought that I would be going to a bit more fancier type of house. No. Mawlana Musa Mink, he lives in a humble house. I will just leave it at that. He lives in a humble house. Walhamdulillah. May Allah reward him in this world and in the hereafter. He's got thousands of spiritual sons all over Zimbabwe and many other places. Even here in South Africa, you find imams, etc., who have graduated from his centers. Walhamdulillah. This is his legacy that he will leave behind. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. After that wonderful lunch, then we headed back to our accommodation. We met with Sheikh Anubi. Sheikh Anubi is the representative of Africa Muslim Agency, or today as it's known as Direct Aid. Direct Aid, and they have about 30 du'at working in Zimbabwe. So we had a meeting with him, walhamdulillah. Then there were three other imams who were late, and they came and we did their interviews. And then we met with a few other important individuals who had given us nasiha, and we made them a shura, walhamdulillah. So that's the Friday. So Friday was the visit to Majlis al-Ulama run by Sheikh Shabir Mink. We visited Masjid Abbas, Masjid Abu Bakr, Jumu'ah at Al-Falah, the khutbah of Sheikh Ibrahim Mink, and he spoke about connecting with the Noble Quran, especially because we are about to enter into the month of the Noble Quran, the month of Ramadan. Lunch with Mawlana Musa and those other meetings we had at the accommodation. Saturday the 20th, 5 a.m., we left very early, alhamdulillah, headed off to Gweru. Gweru, this is on the way to Bulawayo, so now we are moving south. Sheikh Nuruddin Laja, he assisted us with meeting with the imams there. Those imams who applied, he liaised with them and got them to the main masjid. We conducted 4 interviews with imams there. One imam stood out, Imam Musa. Imam Musa, we got talking, and how much do you earn? And mashallah, we found that Imam Musa was active, walhamdulillah. Sheikh Musa, Imam Musa, how much do you earn per month? So he mentioned sometimes around $17 to about $20 a month. Based on the exchange rate, that's what it comes to. I said, Sheikh, how do you live on that amount of money, subhanAllah? You know, Allah looks after us. You don't go to Nando's or anything like that. No. We can't do all of that. Jayid. And are you active, Imam? MashaAllah, Jayid. So we did a quick video interview with him. And I said to him, you know what, can I share it? He said, no. I don't want anybody to see this. Please don't share it. I said, okay, we will hide your face. Okay. But I told him, don't worry. I will send it to you first. If you approve, then we will share it. So I sent it to him the next day, blocked out his face. But because I titled it Interview with Imam Musa, he said, no. Remove that interview with Imam Musa. Change it to maybe Interview with a Zimbabwean Imam. So we changed it. We blocked out his face. We didn't put his name as the title there. And we shared it, subhanAllah. Right? He was fine with it and we shared it. I think maybe 24 hours later, somebody messaged me, one of the mashayikh, he messaged me and he says, you know, I saw that video and mashallah, you know, I was really touched by that video there, and I want to send something for this Sheikh Musa. And so I thought maybe $100, $200, subhanAllah. And then it comes via PayPal. He sent $1,000 for the Sheikh Musa. $1,000, subhanAllah. So I informed Sheikh Musa, and Sheikh Musa, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thanked the donor, and he said, subhanAllah, My wife has been sick recently. She's been very, very sick, and I need to take her to the doctor. And I was thinking like how and but and this and that, subhanAllah. And you know, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah opens up a way for them. And mashallah, then he was able to take her to the doctor, and all of that got sorted out, walhamdulillah. And mashallah, we arranged for that money to reach Sheikh Musa. And by the time this is recorded here, alhamdulillah, the money has reached him. And mashallah, subhanAllah. May Allah reward Sheikh Musa. May Allah reward the donor. Allah used us. We were the middleman. We were just like the delivery agent. And subhanAllah, this reminds me of a story that the story goes that there was a minister, and he was sent to one of the Russian republics on some important work. And he thought that I'm traveling with my wife, and you know, halal food might be an issue. It was from a Muslim country. He was a Muslim. And so he took some chicken along. She prepared some chicken and they took it along. And when he gets to his destination, after checking into the hotel, they receive a message that no, there's some important work. You need to get back home. You need to get back to your country. There's an emergency. Get back. And so they get into the vehicle heading to the airport. Now they have the food with them. So they thought like, what are we going to do with this food? So subhanAllah, he says, I saw a Muslim, I think it was a Muslim woman with her kids. And so we stopped and we gave them this food. MashaAllah, they were very happy. Walhamdulillah. And we drove off. And so he says, you know, when I look back and I think about this matter, I wonder who that woman was. I wonder who that woman was, the woman with those few kids there sitting. I wonder who she was, because Allah sent a minister from a certain country who traveled across the globe, go to this Russian Republic there, delivered this food to her, and then traveled back. That's all he did. It's like he was just sent as the delivery agent, delivery boy. Go there, give this woman this chicken, and go back home. SubhanAllah, subhanAllah. And so, mashaAllah, Sheikh Musa was pleased, was happy, walhamdulillah. And may Allah reward him, and may Allah make him strong in the field of da'wah. So we had met with Sheikh Musa there, and then we got moving. We headed off to Bulawayo. We did our COVID test, because we are traveling on Monday. Remember, 72 hours of any travel, you need to do a COVID test. And in Bulawayo, we headed off to the New Hope Islamic Center. We interviewed maybe about 10 imams there, and then we headed off to our accommodation. We had some Nando's before that, mashallah, and then we headed off to our accommodation, walhamdulillah. So that was the Saturday. Started the day very early. Gweru interviews and then Bulawayo interviews. The drive between the capital Harare to Bulawayo is the second largest city, is about 5.5 hours. 5.5 hours of driving, alhamdulillah. So that was the Saturday done, mashallah. Our last day, and that is the Sunday, the 21st. Mashallah, we got into contact with Brother Hassan Isat. And so we met him at the main masjid of Bulawayo at around 20 past 12. We were told that he is involved in da'wah, etc. And so, mashallah, he responded to our messages. We met with him. And on our way to meet him, our trusted driver, Brother Taha, who works for New Hope Islamic Center, he told us, you know what, there's a sister Aisha, and she's also very much involved in da'wah. So he contacted her, and she says, no problem, pick me up on the way. And so, mashallah, we picked her up. And then there's the brother who's in charge of the Islamic Medical Association, Brother Akim. We also met up with him at the masjid, and this was in reality coincidental. Qaddar Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that we all just met there at the masjid. And then Brother Taha and also Brother Bilal, Sheikh Bilal, who had arranged our visit there to Bulawayo and the interviews with the imams. He says that, you know what, there are some imams who came from Mashvingo. They were unable to make it for the interviews yesterday, so they've come now. So they've come now, and they were there for Salatul Dhuhr. So we said, well, since we are all here, maybe we'll do the interview, and these other individuals want to know about the IDP. Maybe we meet here. And so, alhamdulillah, the trustees allowed for us to use the classroom. We did a quick overview of the IDP. We did the interviews with those imams there. Alhamdulillah. So that was Sunday, mashallah, tabarakallah. We went for some lunch, and then we visited some of the imams. This Sheikh Bilal, we visited his center, and were informed about the activities he's involved in. And mashallah, only at the end of the day, he tells us that, you know, he's a revert. We did a small interview with him, and he mentions he's a revert, subhanAllah. I said, Sheikh, you're a big Sheikh, mashallah. I would have never thought that you were a revert, subhanAllah, mashallah, mashallah. Jayid. And then we also visited Zinatul Islam Masjid. And mashallah, Zinatul Islam Masjid, this masjid was built by some of the Malay Muslims of Cape Town that they had moved to Zimbabwe like decades ago, and they set up this masjid, Zinatul Islam Masjid, and you can see the names on the board there, mashallah, just like our brothers and sisters from Cape Town, walhamdulillah. And so we visited that masjid. Sheikh Ishaq, who is the imam of that masjid, we sat with him and he informed us of his activities, mashallah. And then after we left, we also passed by the Majlisul Ulama, the center which is under Mawlana Musa Mink, Shabir Mink, etc. Their center, their da'wah center, Darul Uloom in Bulawayo, mashallah. Another massive center, walhamdulillah. So that was the Sunday, mashallah. We also sat that evening shortlisting our applicants, 57 applications, and we selected about 15. And we said we will make it 20, inshallah. We will choose 20 imams. But qadar Allah, mashallah, we chose 25 imams. So bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will be starting the IDP in Zimbabwe with 25 imams, walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Ameen, ameen. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this was a quick overview of our trip to Zimbabwe. It was a short trip, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday we were back in South Africa. Summary of this trip, that it was short but extremely fulfilling. Filling, walhamdulillah, 25 imams have been selected. We already have the ball rolling in terms of registering an entity there and opening up a bank account. We've already ordered 25 phones for the imams, inshallah. The first month, everyone gets a brand new smartphone, good quality smartphone, so we can have contact with one another, walhamdulillah. We hope, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that the imams, they live up to the high hopes we have of them. Something that we noticed, that many imams are generally free between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr. And then from Salatul Dhuhr until Salatul Asr, they are also free. After Asr, they have a madrasa class, etc. A lot of the madrasa takes place on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Some imam said, well, you see, it's because of the schooling system. There are students that go in the morning and then there are students that go in the afternoon and then it swaps over. So that type of setup and system does pose a challenge for the madrasa system. But where there's a will, there is a way. And mashallah, now, according to legislation, every single school, they have to have a class dealing with the various religions. And so many imams, mashallah, they are visiting the government schools and they are discussing Islam and giving lessons on what Islam is all about. Walhamdulillah. Those imams that we had chosen, selected 25, either mashallah, they are from those who are active between Fajr and Zuhr and Zuhr and Asr and the weekends, etc. Or some of them who were not so active, we requested from them to put together a program that, ya doctor, ya sheikh, ya imam, ya muallima, if you are added to the IDP, what will you be doing between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Zuhr? What will you be doing between Salatul Zuhr and Salatul Asr, etc.? Jayid, 8 to 5, some people work a full job, etc. What are you doing in terms of da'wah? What about the street da'wah and the home visits and the hospital visit and the jail visits, etc., etc.? Who's going to do that if you are not doing it? So, alhamdulillah, many of them have responded positively. They put together their programs and we've selected 25. We ask you to pray for the Imam Development Program. We ask you to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah in this world and in the hereafter. We ask you to make dua to Allah that Allah accepts it from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those who have donated and have sponsored and have stood by us and supported in whatever type of support, that Allah reward them in this world and in the hereafter and grant all of us a share of the work of the imams. Ameen, ameen, ameen. And as for all of the Zimbabwean ulama and du'at and organizations and individuals and businessmen and supporters and others who assisted us in any way whatsoever, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah grant you khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of us connecting, building bridges with one another and all serving Islam better together. Walhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.